Hi everyone, listening to Faith Family Worship Center's podcast number 173 for May 1st, 2011. In this week's podcast, Pastor Archie will be talking about how to exalt Christ in our daily lives. Enjoy.
We're glad that you're here worshiping with us. Amen. Shall we stand up as we go to the Word of God? Let's turn to the book of Colossians, chapter 1, 15 to 20. I would like to speak on the topic, exalting Christ in your life. Amen? Amen? How do you experience or exercise the Lordship of Christ in your life? And we'll start reading from verse 15 to 20. First Colossians chapter 1. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Again, Lord, thank you for your word. Help us, Lord, to look into your word this morning. Give us insight, revelation, knowledge of who you are and the authority that you have in our lives and the authority that we have in you. And Lord, I pray, O God, for your anointing upon your servant, upon your people. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So, we have been studying about Christ, that he is supreme, amen? And he is the Son of God, and he has all authority in heaven, on earth, and of course in our lives, amen? So when we realize that, then our response is that we must pursue him with all of our hearts, with all our minds, with all our strength. And what does it mean then to pursue Christ? What does it mean to make Jesus Lord in every area of our lives? And I believe that one of the ways by which we could pursue him is to exalt him. Amen? To make him number one in your life and in my life. And to give him the place of preeminent power and authority in our hearts that he deserves. Amen? Amen? And the book of Colossians tells us how to do it. Because in the book of Colossians, from the beginning to the end, it tells us how to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul here demonstrates that Christ reigns supreme by virtue of who he is and by virtue of what he has done in our lives. Amen? That's why Paul here in verse 18, he says that Christ should be preeminent in everything. Hindi lang yung mga maliliit na bagay sa puso natin, but lahat, every area of our lives, he should have pre eminence. Amen? And that's what God's goal for Jesus Christ. And one day, the whole world, the universe will submit to the preeminence of Christ when he comes back during his millennial rule and reign. But for you and for me now, as God's children, Christ is to have first in our lives now. Can you say now? In every area of our lives. Because the Bible says he is the head of the body, which is the church. And we are the church and he is the head. And who controls the body? The head, right? So he should be preeminent in our lives. Now, there are four major areas I would like to mention that Jesus Christ should be preeminent. And of course, number one is we should exalt Christ in our faith. That's what we read in 1 Colossians chapter 15, verse 20. He is worthy to reign supreme in our lives because of the following. Number one, he's exalted because of his deity. He is God. Paul says in verse 15, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. The book of Hebrews says he is the radiance of his glory, the exact representation of his being. If you see Christ, you see God. Amen? And what's the Gospel of John says, in John he says, that the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. Amen? We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. No one has ever seen God, but God the only, the one and only, who is the Father's side, he has made him known. So Jesus Christ is the exact likeness and representation of God. So that means that his very essence and substance is deity. So if some people coming to your door and saying to you that Jesus Christ is not God, they are not telling you the truth. The Bible says God is invisible in his essence because he is a spirit. God is a spirit, right? But when Jesus Christ took on human body in Bethlehem in a manger, then God became visible to us. Jesus Christ made God the Father become visible to us. And Jesus said himself, he who has seen me have seen who? The Father. Have seen the Father. That's why in Colossians chapter 2 verse 9, Paul says here, all the fullness of deity lives in bodily form. All the fullness of God, the goodness of God, if there's such a word like that, dwells in Christ. Amen. Amen. Now, the amazing thing is that you don't stop there, because in verse 10 in Colossians chapter 2, let me just look at this with you. Verse 10. All right? You have your Bible with you? Did you bring your Bible? Amen. All right. Okay. Colossians verse 2. All right. Just there. Or verse 9. For in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. And 10. And you have been given fullness in Christ, who is the head of over every power and authority. So the same fullness that God has put on Christ is the same fullness that God has put in you. Amen. So my question this morning is, what are you full of? Who is controlling your life? What are you full of? Is it, I hate to say, all the other things that people can be full of. Material things, ano pa? a pleasure. Amen? Hatred, bitterness, all these things. So what are we full of if we are full of Christ? So if the fullness of God dwells in Christ, and Christ dwells in us, it should be no problem, amen, to exalt Jesus Christ daily in our lives. It should be no problem for Christ to have place, first place, in every area of our lives. So we exalt him because of his deity. He is God. Then it says here, we also exalt him because he is the originator of the created order. Verse 15 to 16 says, the firstborn of all our creation, for by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth. Now, in order to be a creator, Christ must be outside of creation himself. This means that Christ is uncreated, another way of saying that he is eternal. Now, the word firstborn there does not mean that Christ was the first created being in the universe. It means that he is the first in everything. First in rank means priority, superiority, preeminence, supremacy. It means that he existed before all creation as the supreme being of the universe. What's talking about here? So, we exalt him because he is God. We exalt him because he is the creator. He created you. He created me. Amen. He created everything. All right, secondly, Christ is exalted because of his position. Position. Now, not only did he create everything, but everything points to Christ. Verse 6 and 7 says, all things have been created by him and for him. Excuse me. And he's before all things. And him all things hold together. Now, when it say all things here, it includes what? Thrones, powers, rulers, or authorities. So that covers any kind of human or demonic authority you could possibly imagine. Every throne, every authority, you think about it, is under the authority of Christ. Amen? And if the same authority is in us, because the fullness of Christ is in us, you have the same authority, amen, that Christ has in your life. It's amazing. And it says here that Jesus Christ was also the agent of creation, one who made the process happen. So when God said, let there be what? Let there be, when he created the world, he spoke the world to existence, right? When God said, let there be light, let there be this, Jesus went into action because he is the Word of God. The Bible says that God created the world by his what? Word. He spoke the world into existence. Amen. So, now Jesus is also the final cause or purpose of creation, since Paul said everything was created for him. He not only created by him, but for him. Amen. Excuse me. So when God spoke the world into being, he had the glory and exaltation of his Son in mind. So Jesus is the reason God created the universe. The universe is, as it were, a gift from God the Father. So all creation designed to glorify and exalt Jesus Christ. Can you say amen to that? Amen. We are God's creation. So our life should be, the purpose of our life should be what? To bring glory to God. Amen. All right. So Jesus exalted not only because he is God, he is deity, he is the creator, not only exalted because of his position. He's in the right hand of the Father, it's talked about here. But he is also exalted because of his work. All right. Now, what is his work? It says here that he is sustaining and holding the universe together. He is before all things, and him all things hold together. The reason the entire universe does not fly apart, all right, is because being sustained by God. Yeah. Now, if you have read about some science, they say that the world, the universe, expanding. So the stars are spreading out. But what holds the universe together? So that the sun, all right, rises in the morning and sets in the afternoon. What holds this universe together? It's the power of Christ. Jesus Christ is holding the universe together. His job is to hold the universe intact together. Amen. That's why when the disciples were caught in a storm in the middle of the Sea of Galilee, Jesus Christ, who holds the world together, can speak to the wind and the waves as be still. And the elements of nature has no choice, has no option but to obey the word of Christ. Amen. That's why when Jesus commanded Lazarus to come out of the grave, death had no option but to obey the word of Christ. Amen. Now, my question to you and to myself is, if Christ can hold all the matter in the universe together, can he hold our lives together? Can he hold your life together? Amen. So, since Jesus is good at holding things together, maybe we should not panic when things go wrong in our lives. Amen. Maybe we should not quit soon. Amen? Because the same God who holds the universe together can make your life intact and whole. Amen? You believe that? I believe that. The same God who created the universe is the same God who is able to put things in order in your life. Whatever those problems are, be it spiritual, be it financial, God can make things work for good in your life. Amen. He can supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. I believe that. Amen. Now, it says here, he is exalted. The other work that he does is he sustains the church because he is our body, which means that he is the source of our spiritual life, individually and as a church. He is the one sustaining the body. He's sustaining us by his power, by his grace. Amen. All right, now, it says also here, he's the firstborn among the dead, which just means that he's the first in line in the resurrection. And because he was raised from the dead, he will be raised someday with glorious bodies, with glorious bodies like he has. Amen. Of course, the supreme work of Christ, for which he deserves our exaltation, is his death on the cross to redeem us from our sin. It says there that Christ reconciled us to God and made peace through his blood by shedding his blood on the cross. So these are the works of Christ. He's sustaining the universe, sustaining the church, and he has reconciled us to God and redeemed us. And because of that, we exalt him. He deserves our praise. He deserves our adoration. Praise God. Hallelujah. The second area of our exaltation of Christ is in our focus. Ano ba yung focus? The direction in your life. Amen? It says here in Colossians chapter 3, let's turn to chapter 3, 1 to 3. It says here, Paul says, "Since then you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and our life is now hidden with Christ in God." So if you are living spiritually where Christ is, if your life is hidden in Christ, guess where your focus should be? Where is Christ right now? The right hand of the Father, right? So if you are seated with Christ, living with Christ in the heavenlies, right? Where your focus should be? Should be on the things above. Amen? And the things above. So why should we have make Christ our daily focus? First of all, his authority. It says here that he's seated at the right hand of God. And what is that? A position of ultimate power and authority. So what it's saying is, if we are heavenly oriented, okay, if our mind is on the things above, we need to look at things on this earth with heavenly glasses. Amen? And we should what? We should make our decisions based on heaven's agenda. Amen? Heaven's agenda. So what I'm saying is that since Christ is the sovereign of the universe, then he has the right to command his authority, his central part in my heart and in your life and in your heart. Amen? Amen. Okay. Then Paul says he's not only our authority, but he is our life. He's our life. It says here, "For you died." Where did you die? When did you die? "For you died, and your life is now hidden in Christ." Verse 3. When did you die? You're still alive? You're still here? This is what we call identification. The logical term, identification. We identified with Christ when he died on the cross. Amen? And now Jesus Christ identifies with us in the life that he gives us. That's why Paul says in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, what did it say? "I've been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. And the life that I live now, what? I live by the faith that I have in the Son of God who loved me and gave his life for me." Now, what is our life? What is your life? Our life, your life is the one that makes you alive. Your life is the one that excites you. What excites you? Huh? What excites you? When you say to a young boy, "Oh, let's go to the store and buy a toy," that young boy will get excited, right? When you say to a teenager, tomorrow let's go to get your license, driver's license, so you can buy a car. That excites every teenager, right? Now, what excites a wife? What? Diamonds? Shopping, maybe? What excites men? Huh? Cars? So, Jesus Christ saying, He is your life. He is the one that should excite you. Amen. You know what made the Apostle Paul come to life? He said, for me to live is Christ. Now, if you cannot say that with confidence, your focus is in the wrong thing. That's what I'm talking about here. Amen? Maybe your focus is on something else, on circumstances, or on the material things of your life. So if you are in the situation right now where you feel that your focus is not in Christ, the Bible says you will be spiritually, what? Unfocused. You will not be spiritually alive. You are not experience the life of Christ in your life. Somehow your fellowship with God, with Christ, is not strong, is not intimate. All right? And Christ or God wants Christ, who is more important than anything in your life, more important than your career, more important than your job, more important than your what? Your house, your reputation. And so you can say, Christ is all and in all in my life. So that's Paul is talking about it. He is your life. Not only that, we exalt Christ in our because of his provision. His provision in our lives. He's not only providing us food, clothing, material things, right? All of these blessings. But there are three greater blessings than this thing. And what are the blessings that Paul is talking about here? One is in verse 15. It says, first, the peace of God will what? Rule in your heart. It says there, the peace of God will rule in your heart. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace. So it says that the word dwell means, rule means it's a like an umpire in a game or a referee in a sporting event. So what does the umpire do? He calls the shots, whether the shot is inside or outside, right? So when Christ is your focus, when he is all in your life, what will God do in your life? He will give you what? His peace, right? And why is that peace important? The peace of God will help you in your direction and help you in making the right decisions or the right calls in your life. So when you are going God's way, all right, you'll experience His peace. The umpire says, this is right. This is where you're going. You will experience the peace of God when you're doing something that is right, that's according to the will of God in your life. Amen? Amen? But when you are going your own way, outside of God's will, the peace of God will leave you. And your heart will be in turmoil. You will be confused. You don't know what to do. That's what he's talking about here. And praise God for the peace of God that dwells in our hearts. People are looking for peace today. They could not find it because they're trying to find it in the wrong places. And one of the best ways to keep your focus on Christ is what? Prayer. That's why we need to pray. What does the Bible says? To those who pray about everything that they need and everything that they decide to do instead of worrying, what does Philippians 4:6-7 says? Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer, petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ. Amen? So worry is the great peace stealer. But prayer is the great peace giver. Amen. The reason you are anxious and confused and worried because maybe you're not praying. You spend more time on the Facebook, you're more on the television, telephone, or the TV, or the newspaper, the magazine, like me sometimes. So, but when you have prayed, the peace of God will fill your mind. And when problems come your way, it says here, the peace of God will be a guard in your mind. When trouble, confusion, worry comes, peace of God says, nay, no, he says, don't come in. Because it's a guard. Guard your mind. It's like a guard. All right. Secondly, his provision, not only the peace of God, is that the word of Christ will richly dwell in your heart. Verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, as you sing psalms, hymns, spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. Now, the word dwell means what? He feels at home. You invite him in your house, and he feels at home. And when you focus your mind and your heart on Christ, you allow the Word of God free course in your heart. The Word of God has free access to every part of your life. It means His Word helps you get rid of the junk, right? Get rid of the skeletons, as they say, that you're hiding in your closet. Right? Because the light, the word is like a light. It exposes the dark areas of our lives. The word of God is like a mirror. Exposes the impurities in our faces. The word of God is like what? A fire. It says it burns all the impurities and the chaff in our lives. And of course, the word of God is like a water. Cleanses you. Amen? So some of us need what? Complete and radical what? House cleaning. Can you allow the Word of God to clean your life radically? Get rid of all the junk, the garbage, the dirty stuff. Amen. Then Paul says here, one way for the Word of God to dwell richly in us is what? To teach, admonish one another with all wisdom. Amen. Amen. And we should do that. If you see something in me that's not right, you better correct me. Admonish me. I give you the right. Like I give my wife the right. To do that, all right? And don't feel bad. Don't get offended if a brother or sister corrects you or admonish you. It says here, to teach means what? To give you the word, teach you the scripture. Admonish means to what? To warn you about what the word of God says. We're in this together, folks. Amen? Amen. So we're not only to pray together, to serve one another, to love one another, forgive one another, but we are to teach and admonish one another. Amen. So, kung nakikita kayong mali sa isa, all right, go to that brother or sister. Confront them. Amen? And confront them in a loving way. Right? Tell the truth with love and grace. Kasi ang truth, masakit minsan, di ba? Masakit. But when you tell it with grace and love, hindi masyado. Amen? So, of course, husband and wife should be the first one who should do this towards one another. Amen? And it says also here, you sing psalms and hymns, spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. So one of the ways or one of the signs by which we can make Jesus exalted, preeminent in our lives is what? Thankfulness. Gratitude. Gratitude. We're just eating yesterday with Brother Tuna and said, thank you, Lord. The thankfulness should just come out of your heart, of your mouth, because of the goodness of the Lord. Amen. So are you a thankful person? Amen? Or a grouchy person? Or a murmuring person? Okay. You cannot be thankful and be a murmurer at the same time. Okay, thirdly, another blessing that comes is that we have the privilege of acting in His name. It says, whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord. Verse 17. Now, when you talk about the name, it talks about identity and authority. Identification and authority. We are identified with Christ because of our redemption. Amen. Amen. That's why the Bible says all the disciples were called Christians. You are a Christian because you identify with Christ. Amen. All right? So when your focus is on Christ, all right, you will see that every decision, every word that you speak, and of course the action that you do should reflect your identity with Christ. Mabigat yun ah. Huh? So before you speak something, all right, does it glorify Christ? Does it edify a brother or sister? Before you do something, you ask the question, what would Jesus do in this situation? Right? Before you do something, we should ask the question, will this bring glory to God or will bring shame to the Lord Jesus Christ? So you have to do this because we're identified with Christ. We are representing Christ. We are ambassadors for Christ. We are representing the kingdom of God. Amen? Then it says here, you will act in authority, in the authority He has given you. Because it says, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. God has given you authority in His name. So I believe what He's talking about here is you have the authority. You have the authority to rebuke the devil, to rebuke sickness, to heal the sick. That's what the Bible says. Over circumstances in your life. in the name of Jesus, because he has given you that authority. Amen? Hallelujah. All right, now, this is the personal natin, buhay natin, right? Now, going back to our family. Now, this is where the rubber meets the road now. Okay? We should exalt God or Christ in our family. Christ is glorified when our homes reflect his priorities, and the Bible has specific instructions to its member of the family. Okay, let's start with the wife. All right, verse 18, what does it say here? Chapter 3, verse, wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting to the Lord. Did the wife say amen, or Sister Lucy is the only one saying? Now, he's not talking about in the intrinsic worth or value of the wife as a person or a child of God. Because a wife is equal with a husband in the eyes of God. The Bible says in 1 Peter that what? They are fellow heirs of the grace of life. However, a wife's submission has to do with function, not value. Just as Jesus Christ functionally subordinate to the Father, yet equal with the Father, so a wife is functionally subordinate to her husband, yet equal to him. Right? Now, when it says it is fitting in the Lord, it means that it is proper, right? It is becoming for a wife to conduct herself that way, because that is what God asked her to do. Amen? And that's what us tells her to do, to exalt Christ in that family or in that home. Of course, we have a good example in the Bible. Sarah, the wife of Abraham, he was in submission to her husband. And of course, she received a blessing from the Lord. You know, Abraham was not a perfect husband. You know that? He lied twice about his wife. You know that? To protect himself. He said, he's not my wife. He said, my sister. Half-truth. But Sarah still honored Abraham as her husband. And what did he say to Abraham? Lord or master? So can the wife say, master? Or Lord? All right. It's a title of respect. Respect. The greatest thing that a husband needs is more than anything is respect. You know that? And the greatest thing that a wife needs is security and love. Okay. So, and of course, she got a miracle. What did she get? She got a baby. When he was old and barren, it's impossible to bear a child. She got Isaac. Now, for the man, what it says, it is fitting to the Lord. It also means that the husband cannot demand anything of his wife that would displease her, that caused her to displease the Lord. I cannot say to my wife, do this, if the thing that I tell her to do is to displease God. So husbands, you cannot say to your wife, I am the husband and you do what I say, period. Huh? That's not feeding to the Lord. That's not feeding in the Lord. Amen? So that's how we exalt Christ. That's how the wives exalt Christ in the home. All right, let's go to the husbands. Verse 19. Husbands, love your wives and do not be hers or bitter with them. Now, what is the type of love here? It's not that emotional, romantic love, but what? That self sacrificing agape love that Christ displayed when he loved and gave himself for the church. What did Christ do for the church? He died for the church. So husbands, are you really, really, really willing to die for your wife?
Amen.
Huh? Wow. Praise the Lord. And that is the model of love that we should do as husbands. Amen? Willing to even give our lives to our wives. Now, as a husband, we ought to ask ourselves regularly, what have I given for my wife lately? Ano ba nabigyan natin sa mga asawa natin lately? Marami. What sacrifices have I made for her well-being? Have you sacrificed anything lately for your wife? One way a husband can test his servanthood, okay, is to list all the things that his wife does for her, then to list all the things that he does for her wife. And if he has a longer list, that is doing a good job. So husbands, we should be out serving our wives. Amen? When God gave you that wife, he did not give you a yaya or a servant, right? He gave you somebody that you are what? Partner in life. Amen? Amen. Who could share your dreams, you could share your, everything. Amen? Amen? So we should love our wives. That's how we exalt Christ in the family. Amen? Amen. Now, the children, relationship of parents and children. He said, verse 20, 21, children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not embitter your children or they will be discouraged. So this is the way we exalt Christ in the home. Not only husband and wife, but also our relationship with our children. The Bible views disobedience to parents as rebellion against God. So as parents, we have to teach our children how to what? Right, to respect and to honor us. And in doing that, they're also giving honor and glory to the Lord. Amen? Amen. Now, for parents, meron ba kayong responsibility too? What did he say? That we should not embitter our children or they will be discouraged. So, how does your job as a parent do? Your main job is to encourage them, amen, and build them up rather than exasperating and frustrating them with what? Criticisms, right? Of course, we have to correct wrong, but the dominant thing that your children remember about you, the main thing that your children remember about you is that you are a parent who gave them encouragement and love. Amen? Amen? Not criticism, not putting down, but they need a home, an environment of love and encouragement. Maybe if your teenager is rebelling, it's because what? There's no relationship, right? There's no encouragement. Discipline is good, but if you discipline without love, it leads to rebellion. Amen? So it's a responsibility for us parents. So that's how we exalt Christ in our home. Now, our last area that we have to exalt Christ is in our job, in our field, all right, our place of employment, or our place of work. So in those days, the dominant work relationship during Paul's day was the slaves and their masters. Today, we could equate that to employees and employers. The bottom line is that whether you're employee or employer, what? The bottom line is that Christ has to be exalted in our workplace. Now, what is your responsibility as employee? The basic command, if you are working for someone else, if you're an employee, is to serve your employer as if you are serving Christ. Look at chapter 3, 22-24. It says here, slaves, put your name there. You're not a slave, but you're an employee, right? Employee, obey your earthly masters in everything, and do it not only when their eyes is upon you to win their favor, but with sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord. Whatever you do, work it with all of your heart, as working for the Lord, not men, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. Amen? Now, the question here is, why did Paul not just command the immediate eradication of his slavery in the early church? Because in the church, there were slaves and there was masters together. The answer is that he did not have to, because he did something better and more lasting and more effective. He Christianized the institution of slavery by commanding his slaves to obey their masters and gave them an honest day's work, and commanding their masters to treat their slaves with justice, compassion, and fairness. In other words, Paul commanded slaves and masters to exalt Christ in their relationship. And when you do that, there's no need for slavery. Slavery will just be collapse at its own weight. Of course, the Bible gives us an example about a master and a slave relationship. And you see that in the book of Philemon. Paul urged Philemon, who was a slave owner, to receive Onesimus. He's a slave who stole from him and then ran away. So Onesimus met Paul and got saved, and Paul told him, you need to go back to Philemon and make things straight with him. And then Paul wrote Philemon, and you see that in the book of Philemon, he said, you need to receive Onesimus, but not just as a runaway slave. He is now your brother in Christ, and I want you to receive him as you would receive me. So Onesimus' job description was still the same, right? He was still a slave. But his relationship with Philemon was totally different. Now they are brothers in Christ. Amen? So the key to exalting Christ in our job is to work as if Christ is our employer. Because in the final analysis, he is the one. Because he owns everything. He is the one we are serving, not just our boss. So when you go to work, all of you are working, right? Most of us are working. Make a little adjustment in your thinking. So instead of focusing on your job, how difficult your job is, tagapunas nang, wait as a nurse or caregiver, mahirap yun, di ba? Instead of focusing on how unpleasant your job is, all right? Instead of focusing on your boss, who is mean, all right? Or your co-workers who are not good to you, you need to bow in your desk every day. Say, Lord, Lord, you should have this prayer. Lord, for the next 8 hours, it will be my joy and delight to serve and exalt you by the work I have to do today. Amen? And it doesn't matter whether you are the president of the company or you are the janitor, because if you have the change of attitude that you are serving Christ, all right, it will revolutionize the ability to function and with joy in your heart. So instead of murmuring, criticizing your boss or other people, you will have the energy, amen, the joy to function and to work. And you will be the best employee in your company, amen? Because joy doesn't come from the outside, it comes from the inside. Joy doesn't come from your circumstances, but it comes from the Lord. Amen. So, and Paul says, you will have a reward, an inheritance from God. And make the mistake, Christ is not a stingy, what? Employer. He will reward you. Amen. Now, the responsibility of employers. Colossians 4:1, it says here, masters, provide your slaves with what is right and fair, because you know that you also have a master in heaven. So, if you're an employer, whether you're the CEO, owner of the company, all right, you are still under your master who is in heaven. Amen. Jesus Christ, who owns everything. So employers should be equitable in their dealings with their employees. They have to give fair pay to the employees, what their work is worth for. Just employers would want the Lord to deal fairly with them. So as an employer, if you're an employer today, you can have that great opportunity to demonstrate or exalt Christ. If you give that Christ-like attitude, because your employees are looking at you for direction and guidance. At the same time, as an employer, it means to say you can... Your love for him shows up in how you handle your work and the way you treat people under you. Amen? So these are the ways by which we can exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? And exalting Christ in every area of our lives requires commitment. It will cost you something. Amen? That's why James 4:10 says, humble yourselves in the presence of the Lord, and He will exalt you. It requires selfless commitment on our part to humble ourselves before the Lord and to humble ourselves before other people. And of course, the higher you exalt Christ, the higher He will exalt you. Amen? Because it says here, if you humble yourselves in the presence of the Lord, He will exalt you. So, my admonition, my encouragement to you as brothers and sisters is exalt Christ in your faith. Amen? Amen? Exalt Christ in your focus in life. Exalt Christ in your family relationships, and exalt Christ in your relationship in your job. Amen? Because He is the Lord of all. He deserves our exaltation. He deserves our praise. Hallelujah. Father, we just praise you and thank you. Lord, for you have told us, encouraged us in your word, O God, that you will be preeminent in everything, in every area of our lives. Lord, I pray that these teachings from the Apostle Paul, Lord, we will put it into practice. So that when we go, Lord, when we do our responsibilities in our families, in the church, in our workplace, they will see Jesus Christ in our life. That Christ will be exalted in everything that we do, even the things that we speak, even the things, the relationship that we have with one another. For you are all in all. In our lives, you are the King of Kings and the Lord of our lives. So, Lord, convict us where we have fallen. Maybe we have fallen short, oh God, in our relationship with our husbands, and our relationship with our wives. Maybe we have fallen short of our relationship with our children, oh Father. Oh God, instead of encouraging them, Lord, instead of being critical, help us, Lord, to be an encourager, to be a builder, oh God. Lord, so that, Lord, they will learn, oh God, how to obey and glorify you and honor their parents, Father. And help us, Lord, also in our job, oh God, in our relationship, in our workplace, Father, that we will exalt Christ in everything, Father. In the name of Jesus, thank you, Father, for your goodness. Thank you, Lord, for your people. In Jesus' name, amen.
And that was Pastor Archie in a sermon titled Exalting Christ in Our Life. If you'd like to join us for our Sunday service, our address is 6535 Westbury Avenue in Chicago, Illinois. Our telephone number is 773-888-FFWC. That's 3392. You can reach us online at ffwcchicago.com. Our email is contactus@ffwcchicago.com. Until next time, take care and God bless. Bye.